Like, being real, like, this shirt is like, if you're bold enough if you're a bold enough person to walk into like a Starbucks in California,
what if you
with
are
a MAGA
fat?
Hat
Does that
on?
Help?
If you're fat, I think you have the right to wear this shirt.
Yeah.
I've done it just to prove to myself that I can look at the sun and not go blind, but it's probably f***ing my shit up slowly.
You're trying to build that tolerance.
Yeah. Hey, give us some convincing on why we should put weird glasses on before we go to bed, because Seema and I have been talking about it, and it has helped me tremendously.
There's something on your phone called night shift mode. Now, I've tested that in our laboratory, and it doesn't work at blocking blue light. It filters blue light down. Your brain doesn't care how much blue light you're getting. It will still perceive that light to be daytime. If I press the button on the side of my phone 3 times, the screen is now red, and it's emitting 0 blue and green light.
You know, it's morning time, and you have the yellow glasses on. You're about to start the day, so is there an issue with getting some of the artificial light to start your day?
So if I come out and look at artificial light first thing in the morning, my body clock is going to think it's midday and it will phase shift, so it will disrupt my sleep later on in the day.
What do you advise some people to do that work graveyard shifts?
I know a lot of people, especially in the biohacking community, will like shut off Wi-Fi or not even have Wi-Fi in their house because they're afraid of whatever the heck it could be causing. But like, I'm unaware of it, so is there anything there that we should be concerned about?
Circadian biology takes a few days. All you need to do is get that light into your eyes in the morning. Practice, you know, ancestral sleep routine and practice leading up to bed and sleeping. And within a week, I would say, you will be just amazed by the results you're seeing. Red light therapy helps with pretty much anything at a cellular level, okay? So, you know, it can help with muscle recovery. It can help with joint repair. It can help with skin. It can help with fat loss, weight loss, hair growth.
The mask is really, it's funny. The sleep mask is really funny because it's like when I wake up in the morning, I'm like an old woman or an old person. And the reason why I say that is because, like, let's say I have it on and the room's bright. I'll go like this. I'll open my eyes. I'll be like, it just hurt. It actually hurts to open my eyes too fast.
I use that on a plane. I love it. And I'll even get out the mouth tape and everything.
We should have took a picture of that.
Oh, people
are
probably
like, you have done.
So weird. But yeah, I'll go mouth tape and I'll put the eye mask on.
Mouth tape and then the noise canceling.
Yeah. Headphones. It also tells everybody, like, leave me alone.
Prop Watcher family, hope you guys are doing well today. Now, on this podcast, you guys know that we've talked about protecting your sleep. It's one of the biggest pillars for your recovery, your performance, and your life. That's why we've partnered with Bon Charge. Now, Bon Charge is a company that makes so many different products, so check out their website. But primarily, one of the big things we want to talk about are their blue light blocking glasses. Now, there's nothing wrong with blue light. Blue light comes from the sun. When you go outside, there's tons of blue light. But at nighttime, when you have your phone screen, when your TV's going, when you have your light bulbs in your house, there's all this blue light coming at you that affects the way you sleep. That's why we all wear blue light blocking glasses before we go to bed so that we will be able to fall asleep faster and sleep more soundly. Along with that, they also have these awesome sleep masks that you guys have seen us all wear. And there's so many other things on their website that's really beneficial for getting a good night's sleep and recovery that you guys just need to venture and check it out. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys got to head over to bondcharge.com/powerproject. That's bondcharge.com/powerproject. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. And like Seema just said, we are barely scratching the surface. There's tons of awesome products on their website. You guys got to head over there right now. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Good to go.
Okay. Oh,
little intro music.
Yeah.
My voice got weird there.
Little intro shirt. Mark, that is the final microdose shirt. It has been made
finale.
And it's probably coming out in the next 2.5 weeks for you guys.
I like how all three of us are like pretty close to the same color.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you say it, bro?
Because because it's lifelike.
You know, I am darker than both of you on the shirt. Truly.
Yeah.
And Corey Schlesinger is close to his actual color. Like
he's got that reddish hue going.
Yeah.
Corey Schlesinger taught us the importance of microdosing. He does it with all his athletes. We were like, what? You do microdosing with your athletes?
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns, what are they doing over there? Mm-hmm. Sounds crazy. They're all getting high. But they're getting high off fitness. Microdosing their fitness. I didn't realize that.
That's what he's doing over here. And you're being less fat.
Look at this gorgeous body.
It's not bad, huh? Look at that.
Encourage you guys
this is awesome. Quick. He has it backwards.
Wearing this in public is a statement. I was telling Boar, it's like wearing a MAGA hat. like being real, like this shirt is like, if you're bold enough,
being to last on,
if you're a bold enough person to walk into like a Starbucks in California, what if you are with a MAGA
fat?
Hat
Does that
on?
Help?
Yeah. If you're fat, I think you have the right to wear this shirt.
Yeah,
definitely helps.
But honestly, if you walked in all veined up anywhere with this on,
be less fat.
fit all the stereotypes. Like, oh, there's a fucking roided out gym guy again.
You know what you should do? You should wear this shirt and wear a MAGA hat.
Oh god,
I won't even judge you.
And just
I just want to see you walk through a Costco or walk through a Walmart.
My MAGA hat thing popped up on my on my memories. Feed the other day. I was like, I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
No.
Wait a little bit till the podcast gets a little bit more traction.
Just hold off on the MAGA hat, please. Don't be in fucking Ireland with your MAGA hat. No.
Oh, you're representing this podcast in this country when you go over there.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about our guest today, Nsema?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Yeah. Well, Andy, you're the one that set this up.
Yeah. So Andy Ment, he's the CEO of Boncharge. It's the company that we work with. They sell a lot of stuff that helps with sleep, blue light blocking glasses, different glasses for when you're different types of light. They sell red light devices. The sleep masks that you see us use at night, they sell those too. They have red light bulbs. Pretty much everything is meant to help you sleep better, help guard your sleep. And he knows a lot about light. Mm-hmm. Like he knows a lot about the effects of indoor light, outdoor light, all that good stuff.
Should we look into the sun?
Should we look directly? Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
During an eclipse, it's okay. A solar eclipse, you're good. You can do it because it's blocked.
It's kind of funny because I think Mark was mentioning, we were talking about this one day where he was like, yeah, you never look into the sun. I was like, Mark, you never look directly into the sun? And then he's like, no. You're not supposed to. I was like, I do sometimes and I do sometimes and it's stupid, but I've done it just to prove to myself that I can look at the sun and not go blind, but it's probably fucking my shit up slowly.
You're trying to build that tolerance. Yeah. That's not how it works. That's not how it works with burning.
Maybe first thing in the morning, maybe it's not as bad.
It's definitely not as bad. Yeah.
Nah.
That noon.
The sun's cranking at like 3 o'clock.
Killer.
Right?
Yeah.
With the light bulbs though that you mentioned, like they're the blue blocking bulbs. They are very red, so it does look
like you're in Satan's lair.
Look a little crazy, but dude, I have those in my house, and it's you don't think about light like all the time, right? You just don't think about it. But when I have those red lights going, and then like I open up the fridge, the fridge light is fucking, it's so bright. Yeah. It's like I can hear it. It's so damn loud.
Why are you going to the fridge so late at night?
It's like, you know, when the sun goes down and the street lights are on, that's when my red lights turn on. It doesn't mean I'm going straight to bed. I'm a big kid. So if I go into the fridge, it might be to grab, I don't know, a little snacky snack or something. Yogurt.
Have either of you gone as far as like putting on candles at night instead of lights?
No, but it would be nice.
I have before. I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I'm thinking about trying to go get a bunch of candles along with this red light stuff just because, like, putting those bulbs everywhere takes some time. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. But no, I can't with the candles right now.
Will
knock that shit over. Yeah.
And then there goes your house.
Yep. There goes no more house. But anywho, looks like Andy Ment is ready to roll. So let me go ahead and bring him in the room.
I wonder if he's got the fancy glasses on. There he goes.
There he is.
He has the red light in the background.
Hey, I'm not in the waiting room of a brothel, guys. Just in case there's any confusion, I just wanted to clear that up.
Great to have you on the show today. Hey, give us some convincing on why we should put weird glasses on before we go to bed, because Nsema and I have been talking about it, and it has helped me tremendously over the last couple of years. But maybe you can explain what's going on, why it works, and why people should maybe consider it.
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes down to circadian rhythms, okay? So we evolved millions of years ago outside with nature, all animals did, and we developed this clock system that's embedded within our brains that tells the time, which then influences specific hormonal production and regulation. And the cues that pass into this clock system come from light. So we evolved under sunlight, we evolved under campfires after dark, and that helped with the regulation of certain hormones. Now, what happens after sunset is that when we're exposed to artificial light, we are telling our brains that it's daytime because it believes that it's the sun that's out there. It's the sun that's giving us those messages. It isn't able to distinguish between day, you know, natural light or artificial light. And it's saying to us, right, keep cortisol levels high. Let's make us feel alert and awake. And it's this kind of messaging that is suppressing melatonin production and stopping us from getting a good night's sleep. Now, what you can do to resolve that is by blocking the frequencies of light that are interfering with our circadian rhythm, which is by wearing, you know, a pair of these types of glasses with an orange sort of red lens that filters out those frequencies of light that's tricking our body clock into saying it is daytime when it is in fact nighttime.
Don't fall asleep.
Yeah, don't fall asleep
during the
it's morning here in Australia, so yeah, I definitely don't need those
on. Yeah, there you go.
So you definitely don't like, one thing I find pretty interesting is I've seen people try to wear some of these glasses during the day, but that just, it's, you're not supposed to wear these glasses outside with sunlight during the day, correct? Like, sunlight is good, especially during the day, but you don't want to be bathed in artificial light at night, whether it's overhead lights at your house, your TV, your phone screen. That's the way to go about things, correct?
100%, yeah. And, you know, we've evolved under the sun. We shouldn't be afraid of the sun. You know, there's a lot of talk out there about how bad UV light is, but we need UV light to synthesize with cholesterol to produce vitamin D. And we all know how amazing vitamin D is for reducing all-cause mortality and keeping our immune system strong. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, our circadian rhythms are very much governed by natural light. So the more time we're spending outside, the more correct messaging we're getting into our circadian system, which is keeping our hormones regulated correctly. You know, if you're bathing under artificial blue light after sunset, you're going to have chronic cortisol levels. That kind of stress in your body is going to interfere with, you know, muscular gains. It's going to lead to things like chronic stress over time. Seasonal affective disorder can also come into play. It can also impact other hormones and neurotransmitters in the body, such as, you know, serotonin, dopamine levels. If we're starting to block natural light, you need serotonin in your to be produced under sunlight to be able to produce melatonin later on in the day as well. So yeah, you definitely don't want to be wearing blue light glasses outside during the day. You want to be allowing all that beneficial sunlight into your body, through your skin, through your eyes, in order to regulate that circadian rhythm and keep those hormones in check.
Can you explain what the blue blocking light bulbs do? Because like, if it's a dark room and you know, sun's down and I switch the light on, now it's bright. Well, it's not too bright, but there's light now in the room. But yet those light bulbs don't mess with the circadian rhythm. My eyes don't think that the sun is, you know, now on all of a sudden. But what I'm getting at is, like, it still will illuminate the room. But what's going on there that's preventing all the bad effects from blue light on my body?
And to add on to that question, do you know how much lux is in those red light bulbs? Like, you know how you can record lux outside?
Lux.
There you go. Outside or on whatever. Do you know how much those emit?
On the red light bulbs, they're very much similar to regular LED light bulbs in terms of the lux that they're releasing. So you're not actually going to be sat in a dim, dingy room when you've got the red lights on. You can probably see behind me now that there's like a hell of a lot of light being given off. So you definitely wouldn't have to worry about the you know, the dimness of the lighting from the red light bulbs. And in terms of the other question as well, when it comes to light after sunset, we need to kind of think to ourselves, well, ancestrally, what did we evolve under after sunset, right? So it was the campfires. We had firelight. We didn't have any blue light present. There was an interesting study in 2002, and I can link this to you guys afterwards, that came out that determined what zone of light interfered with melatonin production. And it was a very distinct banding that fell between 400 and 550 nanometers. And if our body senses any light within that range, melatonin production won't be optimized. So it will either sink to non-existent levels, or depending on how much of this light's present, it will become suboptimal in terms of its production. And the less melatonin you produce, the poorer quality of your REM and deep sleep, the less autophagy and apoptosis that you'll get, and you won't recover as well. And it will lead to all sorts of issues later on in life. So that banding of light between 400 and 550 nanometers can impact you through your eyes, through the master circadian clock system, but it can also impact you through your skin as well. So we have what we call melanopsin receptors in our skin, which is a blue light receptor. So whether you're wearing blue light glasses or not, if you're wearing blue light glasses, that's great. But if you've got artificial regular LED light bulbs in your house, the melatonin production is also going to be impacted through the skin as well. And there's studies that support this, as melanopsin was found about 2 years ago now in the skin. They thought it was just in the eyes. So this is why it's so important to have light bulbs in your house after sunset that emit no light in that melatonin disruption zone between 400 and 550 nanometers. And that's the lights that you see behind me right now. They're devoid of any light in that range. So I know that when I am, you know, chilling, perhaps reading a book after sunset, I've got my blue blockers on. I'm also not impacting the melanopsin receptors in my skin and impacting my melatonin negatively by having artificial blue light present in the surroundings.
What about our phones? How do we protect ourselves from some of the screen time with phones and computers and even television?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. Now, there's ways you can biohack those devices, okay? So there's something on your phone called night shift mode. Now, I've tested that in our laboratory, and it doesn't work at blocking blue light. It filters blue light down. Your brain doesn't care how much blue light you're getting after sunset. It doesn't matter if it's for a minute or two, whether it's a really high lux or a relatively low lux, it will still perceive that light to be daytime, which will be negatively impacting the circadian rhythm. So what you have to do is, if you take a look at my phone here, you can see right now that it's just sort of on a regular setting. And if I press the button on the side of my phone three times, the screen is now red and it's emitting zero blue and green light. And I've written an article on how to do that. It's a little hack you can do in your phone, and you can put a shortcut on. So after sunset, when you're scrolling through your phone, you're only subjecting your body to red light, which doesn't impact your sleep cycles. When you're using your computer, the issue you've got with blue light is that you can't really take it completely out of your TV and your laptop, but you can use programs that are built into the laptop. So like, again, a bit like night shift mode on your phone, to reduce the levels of blue light down. And then you have to use blue light blocking glasses to manage the rest of the blue light, and also keep as much of your skin covered as you can as well. The TV is a little bit more difficult. Some of the newer TVs do have a contrast setting on them where you can actually reduce the levels of blue light down, but some of the older models don't, which can be problematic. And, you know, you just got to take, I guess, steps in balancing a lot of the blue light. A lot of the problem with blue light is there's no red light present. So if you've got maybe some red light bulbs, maybe some salt lamps you can put next to your TV after dark, you can kind of counter out the negatives of the blue light. It won't be the perfect solution. The perfect solution is not watching any TV. But we all know that's not going to be possible. I still watch TV myself as well. But if you're wearing blue light blocking glasses, these red lenses here, and if you are covering your skin as much as you can, and you've got some red lighting in your house, you can then mitigate that to a certain extent without having to actually give up your favorite technology.
Covering your skin, though? I mean, I know you mentioned the melanopsin, right? The melanopsin sensors within the skin. But, like, how far do you take it? Are you, like, out here, you got something on your face, you're hooded, and you got the red light blockers on? Or what, like, how big is that effect? Because I feel, I wonder.
I saw somebody the other day, they were sewing like a ninja sweatshirt. I saw Joel Green talking about it. It's like a hoodie and it covers everything. Like, supposed to sleep in it, really, but could be something that someone
sounds
can use.
Super comfortable.
Or just like wearing baggy clothes or something, maybe, right, to block out some of the light. I don't know.
So yeah, I wonder, like, is the biggest mover the eyes, and then the skin would be, it's important, but secondary?
Spot on. Absolutely spot on. Yeah. The impact from the melanopsin receptors in the skin is not as intense as through the eyes. The main portal into the circadian rhythm, because it's literally right in the middle of your brain through here, is through the eyes. That's how we perceive it. And that's how it predominantly takes in light. I think it's about a 90% sort of through the circadian system through the eyes, and about 10% on the skin. Now, it really depends on how extreme you want to take this. Like, in the biohacking circles, you know, you can have people that are literally got no skin on show. They won't watch TV. They live in a field in the middle of nowhere with no lights on, and that's how they want to live, and great for them. But you've also got the other end of the spectrum where people still want that technology. You know, we are having this conversation now remotely, US and Australia, and I love technology. I think you just have to be sensible in the way that you utilize that in respect to, I guess, the EMF radiation levels, but also on the artificial light side as well. And I think as long as you're covered, like, probably like I am now, you know, like I've got my like long sleeves on here. I've got, you know, majority of my body covered. It's also winter here in Australia, so it's a little bit easier than probably you guys having to cover up in the summer. But yeah, you don't have to take it to the extremes. My advice is always take things on that N equals one basis, right? Everyone's individual. Maybe if you haven't worn blue blockers before, try those and track the progress of your REM and your deep sleep on your fitness trackers, you know, your Whoop, your Oura Ring, your whatever you're using, your Fitbits, whatever, and see how that improves. And then if you're, you know, highly competitive and you really want to, you know, improve it even more, then maybe try covering your skin up and see if that impacts your sleep. And if it's not impacting your sleep, then there's probably no need to look at doing it. But if you're seeing, you know, that sort of 1, 2, 3, 4% increases in REM and deep sleep, these are all fantastic, you know, protocols to keep into place if you're seeing the results. If you're not seeing it, then, you know, there's probably no point in doing it. But I think it's all about data. It's all about testing. And I think it's all very individual level as well. And you should always test and see what's working for yourself.
Is there an issue with having like some of the blue artificial light during the daytime? I ask because you said it's morning over there in Australia and it's the afternoon here in the States, but you know, it's morning time and you have the yellow glasses on and you still have the blue blocking light bulbs behind you, but you're about to start the day. So is there an issue with getting some of the artificial light to start your day? Because it seems like you're already awake, so there's not going to be any melatonin production happening anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I am waiting to get some natural light. So we started having this conversation before the sun had risen, and I don't want to subject my eyes to any artificial blue light until I've gone out there and I've seen natural light to entrain my circadian clock system, because I don't want to phase shift my circadian rhythm by exposing myself to artificial blue light. So artificial blue light is very much on a par with solar noon in terms of the sort of photobiological effect on our circadian rhythms. So if I come out and look at artificial light first thing in the morning, my body clock is going to think it's midday and it will phase shift. So it will disrupt my sleep later on in the day, no matter how much I try and regulate and re-regulate my circadian rhythm throughout that day. So what I'm going to do after we've spoken is I'm going to be going outside and I'm going to be taking in natural light through my eyes and my skin to entrain my circadian rhythm at the correct time of day. Now, during the day, artificial blue light isn't so bad. Okay. So the way light works from a blue perspective is that during the day, it increases things like serotonin, dopamine, and cortisol. Okay. These are all important hormones and neurotransmitters to have during the day. But what blue light also does during the day is it causes cellular damage in the eye. And we've seen multiple studies that show that this can lead to minor effects like digital eye strain, headaches, dry eyes when you're working at a computer all day. The reason that happens isn't so much the blue light. It's more of what's not in artificial light, which is the red and orange light. So when you look at sunlight, you get all the benefits of the blue light, but also in sunlight is red, oranges, which are restorative frequencies of light. So red light is extremely powerful to restore and heal any of the damage caused by high energy visible blue light. They've stripped it all out of artificial lighting. So we get the benefits of the blue light during the day, but we also get left with all the damage. So that's why I always have red light present during the day as well, if I'm under artificial light. So I can balance out that blue light, still get the benefits from the artificial sources if I have to work under artificial light, but also have those restorative frequencies of red light in place to help me mitigate any of the cellular damage. Having said that, nothing will substitute the sun. So I'm outside regularly. I'm sitting by an open window as much as I can. And if I'm up before the sun has risen, I will wear protective eyewear and look at balancing the artificial light in my environment. So I've actually got the red lights behind me now to balance any of that. And then I will go outside and entrain my circadian rhythm by going outside and exposing my eyes to the correct frequencies of light from the sun.
What do you advise some people to do that work graveyard shifts, you know, that have kind of unconventional, they have an unconventional, I guess, rhythm of their own to deal with because of work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic question. And unfortunately, anyone who works a night shift, and we've seen this in massive amounts of studies, the nurses study that came out many years ago, I think it was about sort of 19, 20,000 participants over many years, showed that all-cause mortality will increase with night shift work. So it's number one, try and change as much as you can and not work night shifts, because we are not biologically set up to work during that period of time during the night. It's just not, it's not healthy at all. But there are things you can do to reduce the, you know, the negative effects when you work night shifts. So when you're under artificial light at night, you can wear blue light filtering glasses like the yellow lenses, because typically you're not going to have any ambient natural light to be able to help regulate that circadian clock system. So by wearing the yellow lenses during your shift, you can actually help mitigate some of the damaging effects of blue light while still allowing some blue light through to help regulate your circadian rhythms and keep you awake during that time as well. You want to also be looking at getting as much natural light as you can after your shifts. So it will kind of be backwards, but you should, as soon as you finish your shift, you should be outside getting as much natural light as you can. That way you can kind of help regulate a little bit that sort of endocrinological system in your body. And then when you sleep, you're going to have issues with natural light stimulating your body whilst you sleep as well. And you will probably want to be looking at 100% blackout curtains or a sleep mask in order to be able to sleep through that period, because we've seen studies as well that show that melatonin can be disrupted with your eyes closed whilst you're asleep from ambient artificial natural light coming in. So yeah, it's a difficult one. You know, you're going to have very high inflammation levels as well, working under very intense artificial light with a back to front circadian rhythm system. So you probably want to look at other biohacks as well, such as grounding, earthing, cold showers, cold thermogenesis, to really try and bring down those inflammation levels that you would have suffered by working under, you know, highly intense artificial fluorescent lighting at the wrong time of the day.
Those sleep masks are actually a pretty big game changer. I ended up getting one after I've seen you use it in the past. But it's funny because, like, I use a sleep mask. My girlfriend doesn't use one just because her hair gets in the way of it. But every single morning, like, our blinds aren't blackout blinds. So, like, the light will start to peek through. But when I have my sleep mask on, I'm always sleeping a little bit longer. And then I wake up around, like, 6:45. But if I don't have the sleep mask on, I'm always waking up around, like, 6:15. Because my eyes pick up how light it's getting. So that, like, if you guys are trying to sleep a little bit longer, you should not sleep on those sleep masks. They make a big old difference.
Don't sleep on sleep masks.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. So the iPhone hack thingy, do you have to, like, really, like, jailbreak your phone, or is that something that, like, anybody can do right now? Cause I want to do that shit as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone can do that. Take you like 2 minutes. Okay. I'll flick you through the link after this, how to do it. It's literally just a changing of the color hues and then creating a shortcut on your phone so you don't have to change it manually, taking 5 minutes every time. You just click a few buttons, and as soon as that sun sets, you biohacked your phone to be circadian friendly.
We'll put a link in. You'll have a link in the description. If you send us a link, we'll want to be able to have everybody see it. So
yeah.
They'll have that link too.
So what about, cause like I know for me personally, like a lot of this stuff is still fairly new. Cause like, who would have even thought that, like, oh, light bulb's going to disrupt my melatonin production and all that stuff. But now it seems like, well, no shit. But, there's a lot of Wi-Fi signals everywhere. So is like, does Wi-Fi and like, you know, cellular signals and stuff like that, does that have a similar effect on us? Maybe not so much sleep, but maybe there's something else going on because I know a lot of people, especially in the biohacking community, will like shut off Wi-Fi or not even have Wi-Fi in their house because they're afraid of whatever the heck it could be causing. But like, I'm unaware of it. So is there anything there that we should be concerned about?
Yeah, you've got to be a little bit careful with some of the biohacking communities and what they're saying, because some of the stuff that they're saying isn't backed up yet by peer-reviewed studies in humans. A lot of the EMF studies have been done on like rats, mouse studies, not obviously taking away, you know, a mouse study is fantastic when it supports your belief and it's just a mouse study when it doesn't. So you just got to be a bit more careful with reviewing those types of literatures. But having said that, you know, the World Health Organization is referring to, you know, cellular networks, 4G, 5G, and the radiation emitted from your phone as a class 2 carcinogen. So, you know, there's something in there, even though the studies aren't supporting it yet, that you might want to take a preventative approach to these types of things before, you know, data comes out to tell you that, you know, it's bad, you know, that it happened, you know, 50, 60 years ago with smoking. It's happened, you know, throughout the years with various other things. We're only starting to see the effects now of the issue with blue light and artificial lighting. Having said that, I'm one of those extreme biohackers, so I sleep with the Wi-Fi off. You know, my phone's on airplane mode, and I take measures to protect myself from electromagnetic frequency radiation for the simple fact that when we want to get to sleep, we want to be in a state of, you know, a state of relaxation, a state of calm, okay? And melatonin does that for us. And the reason we want that is because we want autophagy and apoptosis. So we want cellular clearance and cellular repair to happen optimally. And the way for that to happen optimally is to allow the body to have no other metabolic processes running. And that's things like if you're eating a very large meal before bed, digesting that meal is going to interfere with the cellular regeneration within your body whilst you sleep. So a lot of biohackers won't eat before bed. They will eat the majority of their calories at the beginning of the day. And there's a lot of studies that support weight regulation from, you know, eating breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. That's been shown in studies from a circadian standpoint. Now, when it comes to Wi-Fi, that also interferes with us at a cellular level as well. So we all run on electromagnetic frequencies, typically with the spin of the Earth. The Schumann resonance is something that keeps our body and our cells functioning optimally. What Wi-Fi and what 4G, 5G cellular networks do, Bluetooth as well, is it influences the spin and rotation of our cells. So the theory goes that it causes the cells to speed up, which ages them quicker, which interferes with other metabolic processes like the autophagy and apoptosis, because it can't happen at the same natural rate that the Schumann resonance creates us, which then can lead to a lot more cellular dysfunction, a lot of dysregulation of cellular autophagy and apoptosis, which then interferes with the regeneration of our cells. So we can age quicker under this stuff. We can recover slower under electromagnetic frequencies. And it potentially as well lead to cellular issues and metabolic issues, such as, you know, certain cancers down the line, which has been shown in mouse and rat studies. Not saying it can happen in humans. We haven't seen that evidence yet. But this is why the biohackers take this preventative measure to remove those kind of unnatural, non-native EMFs from their environment, especially when they're sleeping. Now, there was one study that showed that Wi-Fi actually also interferes with melatonin production, not to the same extent as artificial blue light after sunset, but it does have an impact negatively on the production of the sleep hormone melatonin as well. And one thing to note about melatonin as well, I think it'd be amiss of me not to mention it. A lot of people think melatonin is a sleep hormone, which is partially correct. Melatonin is also an extremely powerful antioxidant, which is involved in cellular regeneration, clearance, and repair. So we want more and more of this stuff to be able to keep our cells and our body healthy. And we do that by managing artificial light correctly. You know, when you sort of look at things like cellular repair from, say, muscle damage, if you look at things, say, like in women that have polycystic ovary syndrome, if you look at other metabolic and circadian dysregulation type diseases, there's a very common theme within it, and it's vitamin D levels and melatonin levels are very low. So we want to be able to increase those melatonin levels, not just from a sleep standpoint, but also from a antioxidant standpoint as well, to get those reactive oxygen species, free radicals cleared from the body optimally as well.
For you, just curious, what does your sleep practice end up looking like? Like what does your wind down routine look like, and how do you navigate that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, you know, aside from wearing the biohacking essentials, such as, you know, your blue light blocking glasses, I would put those on 2 to 3 hours before bed. Typically, that's about the time frame at the moment seasonally that the sun has set, and by the time I go to bed. It can be longer, it can be shorter, it depends on the time you want to go to bed. I typically like to be in bed by 9 o'clock myself. I like to go to bed early and wake up early. I will power down all blue light emitting devices around about an hour, hour and a half before I go to bed. So I won't touch my phone, the TV will be off, the red lights will obviously all be on. And then I like to try and tap into my parasympathetic nervous system. I like to try and meditate, relax, maybe read a book, something that's going to relax my body even further to be able to sleep. And then I will literally lie down, go to bed. I also make sure my room is at a specific temperature as well. And apologies, I'm going to have to say this in centigrade because I'm British and that's what we use. So about 16 degrees centigrade is how I like my bed to be. So I use a cooling sleep mattress where I can put that specific temperature on. And I've got one personally that I've biohacked where it doesn't emit any EMF or red light. So I'm sorry, or blue light, it only emits red light. So a lot of the cooling mattresses on the market emit blue light, which is obviously counterproductive. I'll put 100% blackout sleep mask on, and then I'll get to sleep. And I'll wake up, and the first thing I'll do in the morning is I will go outside and see the sunrise. If I get up before the sun has risen, I will still keep it like it's darkness. So like the red light, like a campfire effect, I will have my red lenses on and my yellow, depending on the time of the day. But I just make sure the first light I see in the morning is that of the sun. Now, I never used to be a morning person, right? I used to go to bed at real late in the evening and sleep in as much as I could. And I always used to think to myself, how can anyone be a morning person? But after you forced yourself out of bed for a week to watch that sunrise, you will be bouncing out of bed. You'll be full of energy. You'll be full of life, because your cortisol awakening response will be correctly regulated and in line with your circadian rhythm. And this is the good thing about light. It doesn't take like dieting protocol or muscle building protocol, whatever it may be. It will take years of dedication and practice to get where you want to be. Circadian biology takes a few days. All you need to do is get that light into your eyes in the morning, practice an amazing, you know, ancestral sleep routine and practice leading up to bed and sleeping. And within a week, I would say, you will be just amazed by the results you're seeing. Like, we have so many testimonials of people on using sleep trackers that have done this for a week and just been like, my sleep scores are through the roof, my energy levels, my readiness levels are through the roof. Yes, it's anecdotal, but, you know, on that N equals one basis, we're seeing so many people that are regulating their circadian rhythms by such small changes to their lives without really giving up what they're doing. They're just making some, you know, lighting changes and managing light hygiene correctly. And they won't ever go back to the way they were because of how they're feeling afterwards.
Do you mess around with cold and heat exposure as well?
I do, yeah. Cold showers are huge for me. I do a lot of work with Chris Gethin. You guys might not be familiar with him. He's a trainer in the US. And he's very much into the biohacking space as well, dialing into, you know, your genetics, your DNA and personalized nutrition plans, that kind of thing. But a lot of his work as well extends into biohacking. And he's got me into these cold showers, which, you know, I used to start off with, you know, putting it on hot and then slowly, slowly turning it down to cold. ice baths as well are absolutely fantastic. I do them where I can. Typically cold showers is good for me, but if people want to start off with, you know, cold therapy, a good way to start is face dunks. So fill a bowl with icy water and just get your face in there, and then you can work up to cold showers and then ice baths. But they're fantastic for reducing inflammation. You've got to be careful. I was reading a post by a guy called Menno Henselmans a while ago that was looking at cold thermogenesis, And he had found studies that show that taking an ice bath or an ice shower immediately after a gym training session is actually quite detrimental to muscle gains. So you want to be taking that ice bath, ice shower, face dunk, whatever it may be, that you're doing cold thermogenesis principles, at least a couple of hours after your training session, if muscle gains are your number one goal. Otherwise, you could be leaving some muscle gains on the table. So I like what Menno preaches because he is very evidence-based. So you've got to bear that in mind, I think, as well, whatever your goal is. But it's great if you're looking to speed up your metabolism. Maybe you're on a weight loss cutting phase of your dieting protocol. It's great for reducing inflammation, which, you know, was definitely brought about by, you know, lifting muscles or doing, you know, very physical exercise, cardiovascular or anaerobic. So I think it's good, but again, you've got to look at things in regards to the science and context. And as I've just said, you know, there's a certain time you should be doing that as opposed to, you know, just doing it on a whim. There's always data to back these things up.
Do you, I don't want to say rely, but do you ever have caffeine throughout the day for like a little pick me up?
Depends on it depends again, N equals one situation here. I'm a very slow metabolizer of coffee. Of caffeine. So I will, if I'm going to have caffeine, I will have it first thing in the day and that's it. My wife, for instance, can metabolize coffee extremely well, so she can drink it pretty much any time of the day. Again, check it on your sleep trackers and see how you're doing. If you're working out in the evening and you're tanking down some sort of pre-workout at 9 p.m. at night, then you know, that's obviously going to be very detrimental, I think, regardless of whatever metabolism you have. I think that's going to interfere with your sleep. The way caffeine works is when you, it's basically an adenosine blocker. So when we produce ATP, so we're producing adenosine triphosphate through electron chain transport, which is our energy production system. And a byproduct of ATP production is adenosine. And that builds up in your brain, right? And throughout the day, it develops something called sleep pressure. So there's two ways you can sleep. Sleep pressure through adenosine buildup, through running metabolic processes, through ATP production. And it will get to a point where you physically can't stay awake. It doesn't really matter about the lighting. You will just want to go to sleep. Then you've got circadian regulation of sleep, which is the sun sets, darkness ensues, blue light disappears, and that will trigger your brain to release melatonin to get you into deeper and more restorative sleep. What caffeine does is it blocks the adenosine receptors across the blood-brain barrier. So caffeine basically stops any messages from adenosine being portrayed to the brain. So basically what it's saying is, oh no, there's no adenosine build up here. I'm awake and alert. I can continue, you know, functioning with high energy levels. You don't want that leading up to when you want to sleep. You want that sleep pressure to be sending the correct signals to your brain. And if you're drinking caffeine late on during the day, you could be impairing the communication system across the blood-brain barrier from the adenosine receptors by utilizing caffeine. Now, that's not to say you should strip caffeine out your diet. I think caffeine is a great nootropic and it can have some beneficial effects on human metabolism and human performance. It's just using it correctly. Personally, I don't drink caffeine. I drink Swiss water extracted decaffeinated coffee because I like the taste of it. You can get a similar effect from having your morning coffee from watching the sunrise. You're going to get the same cortisol increase. You're going to get the same dopamine increase and serotonin production from watching that sunrise rather than having to rely on caffeine. However, I'm not ridiculing caffeine. I think it has a place in human physiology and biology if used correctly as a nootropic.
Power Project family, I hope you guys are enjoying this episode. Now, Mark, Andrew, and myself have been cold plunging for a while now. We actually use the Cold Plunge XL. But the reason why this has become part of our daily routine every single day is because of, honestly, how good it makes us feel coming out of that water. Now, if you want to take a cold shower, that is beneficial, and you need to be doing that if you don't have a cold plunge. But if you do get a cold plunge that goes all the way down to 39 degrees, it's crazy because Andrew Huberman actually talked about the benefits of dopamine post cold plunging. Now, cocaine gives you a 2.5 rise in your dopamine release. Cold plunging gives you that also, but it also gives you a sustained higher level of dopamine throughout your day. That's just one of the benefits, as there are many. So if you guys want to get on it, Andrew, how can they?
Oh, yes. You guys got to head over to thecoldplunge.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save $150 off. And before we drop off here, I do have to say that this has been the absolute best thing I have ever done for my mental health. Every single day I get in this cold plunge and I come out a happier, more positive, and more vibrant human. I can't recommend this enough. Again, thecoldplunge.com, promo code POWERPROJECT to save $150 off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Dog, as much as I get what you're saying, the sun...
people are saying bullshit.
I wouldn't say bullshit, but hey, man, my caffeine addiction does not agree. I'll get that sun, but that caffeine gives me a nice little drug-like kick.
Your body would be like, that's cool, son. Let's go get some coffee.
Just stack it. Stack sun.
There you go.
And then you'll just be super human, eh?
Nice. You mentioned coffee being a bit of a nootropic. Nootropic always pricks my ears. Have you been experimenting with nootropics or anything new in that area? I haven't been paying too much attention to it. The last time I kind of, stepped out of it was like Nupept was like one of the most awesome things that you could be taking. And then it was like a nasal thing. And so that one was kind of interesting, but I don't know. Is there anything new and exciting when it comes to nootropics?
It's a good question. It's not something I'm hugely versed in, so I couldn't really talk at length on nootropics. Caffeine from sort of a natural standpoint is fantastic. I think a lot of the biohacking community use something, methylene blue, I think it is, that they use, where they stick out their tongue and it's all blue and it's got, fantastic benefits. But yeah, in terms of talking about it, I think I'd be, not the guy to speak about it and give sort of the science behind them. I could talk a little bit, obviously, as I have done, about the caffeine, but yeah, I think it's probably something that's a little bit out of my expertise now.
What's your eating like?
My eating? Okay, yeah, so I like to keep sort of paleo principles myself. I have an issue with a gene expression, APOE4. So my body is very, very unreceptive to saturated fat, unfortunately. So I've got to limit my red meat intake. So my DNA test, I did a DNA test with a guy called Corey Duffy in the US. Really good guy. He does a lot of the UFC fighters and personalized nutrition with those guys, and a lot with the Navy SEALs as well. And looking at my biology, DNA, I thrive off monounsaturated, polyunsaturated fats. So my diet's very high in fish, nuts, a lot of olives, those types of things. And I will eat a lot of my calories at the beginning of the day. I typically only have a very small meal before I go to bed, and typically try and keep that low in fat, because fat takes longer to metabolize than proteins and carbohydrates. And I typically, front load my sort of eggs and fish in the morning. I'm loving sardines at the moment, really good superfood. And just trying to get it, all my calories from natural sources as well. So yeah, that's something that I've dialed in personally with, and I felt great utilizing that. It's more, for me, it's more of a, trying to sort out the DNA type issues that I have, and tailoring my diet to that. And then looking at it from when I'm training in the gym. Obviously I'm not as big as you boys, but, to try and keep those aesthetics the way I can as well by training, in line with, I guess, getting my protein and carbohydrates before and after I work out, and trying to train at the correct time of day from a circadian rhythm standpoint as well, utilizing kind of principles that I've heard Menno talk about a lot in the past as well, which is optimal times to train as well, and kind of monitoring that progress as well. So yeah, no, it's, for me personally, it's a lot of fish and a lot of natural good carbohydrates in the diet as well.
I have some red light therapy devices at home, and I've actually been doing that for a few years now. Don't talk about it much, just because people are very... it's hard to talk about, because it's one of those things where it's like, people think it's kind of wild. People think it's out there, standing in front of a red light device for like 20 minutes a day, right? But you know and understand the benefits of it, along with, like, you've seen papers on the benefits of red light therapy. So why would somebody consider utilizing some red light therapy? What does it help with? And how is it backed up in terms of the actual research?
Absolutely. It's the most studied frequency of light in the world. Okay. There's been over 4,000 peer-reviewed studies on this, majority in humans. And there's been over 500 of them have been the gold standard. You know, your double-blind placebo peer-reviewed academic studies. Like, this is the gold standard stuff. Red light therapy helps with pretty much anything at a cellular level, okay? So, you know, it can help with muscle recovery. It can help with joint repair. It can help with skin. It can help with fat loss, weight loss, hair growth, psoriasis, eczema, acne, all sorts of different sort of cellular issues. Now, the most studied frequencies of red light are 660 nanometers and 850 nanometers, which is a near infrared light. And it seems to be that those specific frequencies of light are extremely bioactive in humans, and they trigger a process during electron chain transports, which makes ATP production more efficient, which then allows more cellular respiration to happen and more energy to create more cellular repair. So the way it works is that there's four phases during electron chain transport. And at the fourth phase, there's something called cytochrome C oxidase. And it's this molecule that basically helps stimulate ATP production. And it utilizes oxygen to do that. Now, due to a lot of inflammation during our day, we get a buildup within this electron train transport system of nitric oxide. Now, nitric oxide is great, but too much of it during that specific phase of ATP production can take too much oxygen away from cytochrome C oxidase to produce ATP efficiently. And what appears to happen, and this has been backed up in the scientific literature, is that the red light frequencies at 660 and 850 nanometers seems to react with nitric oxide during that chain transport process, freeing up more oxygen to react with cytochrome C oxidase and produce ATP more efficiently. It almost makes the ATP production system more efficient. And by utilizing it, say, for 10, 20 minutes a day within the region that you want to target, the cellular activity in that region becomes greater, which then leads to an intensification of the metabolic processes in that region, which, if it so happens to be growth and repair, so your muscle recovery, say after the gym or after surgery, you seem to be able to intensify results. And this has been shown across the board in numerous studies, you know, thousands, like I've said, and the 500 plus peer reviewed. Gold standard. Red light works at a surface level. So it's all about the penetration of this light. So red light penetrates at a skin level. So it's good for wound healing, scar healing, acne, collagen production, you know, fine lines, wrinkles, those types of things. Near infrared light penetrates into the muscles and into the bone. So it helps with the cellular respiration improvements that I've just mentioned with the ATP production at a deeper level. So if you're looking at wanting to speed up recovery, if you're wanting to, you know, maybe recover from an injury, maybe you've just got delayed onset muscle soreness after the gym, utilizing the near infrared frequencies of light will have a positive effect on you know, the recovery process at that level. And it's been shown even at an arthritic level as well. So osteoarthritis, people that have got medically diagnosed mild arthritis can experience some extremely positive benefits, mild pain relief by utilizing these types of devices. You've just got to be very careful with red light therapy, because you want to be utilizing a clinical medical grade irradiance, is what they call it. So it's almost like the power of this light. Because the light behind me right now on these bulbs is 660 nanometers red light, but it will do nothing in terms of muscular repair or recovery, because the irradiance is so low it won't penetrate the skin and the cells deep enough to be able to produce more of that ATP production. Now, with the irradiance, you could go and buy a cheap panel somewhere, sit in front of it, and you'll be doing absolutely nothing. So you want to make sure your panels are high irradiance. Over 100 megawatts of power per centimeter squared is the gold standard. And then you'll start to see these benefits within, 4 to 5 weeks minimum of utilizing them. So I guess that's it in layman's terms about how it works. We're starting to see quite a lot of sports teams, and you'll have to excuse me if I get this wrong because I'm not a big follower of American football, but I think it's San Francisco 49ers. Is that a team? Yeah, yeah. They utilize red light therapy. They've got a whole room dedicated to it, and they put all their athletes in there after matches, after training to recover. So they're sort of leading the way in it in the US. And we're starting to see a lot more athletes use it to try and get that cutting edge, trying to get that recovery quicker, trying to get more ATP production. There was also a really fantastic study that was done on athletes a few years ago, elite level athletes, that showed that by utilizing red light therapy, they saw these athletes were looking to cut, MMA fighters looking to cut for a fight or something like that. And they did treadmill endurance training with one group that didn't use red light therapy and one group that did. And the ones that utilized red light therapy as well as the endurance treadmill protocol lost 10% more of their body weight than the group that didn't utilize red light therapy. So it can be used as a good sort of fat weight loss tool as well.
If possible, could you make sure to link that study too? Because with some of this stuff, people are going to be so curious as to like what's legit. So it'd be good to have all that for the description.
Yeah, I'll send that across. I'll send a few others as well, where there's been ones that show, I think it was in elite level volleyball players, that utilizing red light therapy before bed actually significantly improved their sleep as well. So that all relates into recovery and performance. So I'll definitely send those over to you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, actually. Like, what time should we be utilizing red light therapy, in the morning or at night, or does it not matter?
I don't think it matters, because red light doesn't interfere with us from a melatonin production level standpoint. So you can utilize it any time of the day. The only thing that I typically suggest to people, and this is only my theory, so there's no evidence to back this up, I like to think about things ancestrally. So would near infrared light have been present after sunset and before sunrise? No, it wouldn't have done. So I wouldn't want to expose my body to any frequency of light that isn't naturally present at a certain time of the day. I'm not saying it's going to interfere with anything, and there's no evidence on this whatsoever. It's just something that I personally don't like to do. So I will take my red light therapy sessions, if I'm utilizing the near infrared range, between sunrise and sunset. But if I'm using just the red light, the red light function on the red light panels, then I'll use it any time of the day, because red light can be naturally present at any time of the day.
Should we be concerned with getting the red light into our eyes? Like, I don't know if it's good or bad for our vision.
Yeah, it's funny. That's come up quite a lot recently. I'm getting a lot of people ask that question. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, red light doesn't have any negative impact on the cells in your eyes. Having said that, it depends on the irradiance of panels. Our panels, for instance, are very high irradiance because they're clinical lab grade medical devices. So I wouldn't suggest staring intently into something that bright. You might get a few stars in your eyes. Mm-hmm. But near infrared light, studies have shown that can, in the long term, be damaging to your eyesight. So always wear protective goggles when you're utilizing near infrared function. All red light panels will come with goggles if they're over a certain irradiance. So the larger panels will always come with goggles. And you can also purchase them from wherever you purchase your red light therapy device from. There'll be options to add goggles and utilize those as well. But again, near infrared light is probably going to be fine as long as you're not staring directly into the LEDs, which I don't think people would do anyway. But yeah, always take the precaution, always wear goggles if you're utilizing it around that face region in particular.
It's funny, because I have, when I first started doing red light therapy, I'd look right into it. Mm-hmm. And I did that for years.
Me too.
And it's funny because you remember Griffey, Chris Griffin? Mm-hmm. My homie would look into it and he'd like look out like away from it. And he'd be like, dude, I can't see normal colors. Like he was like, my cones are flipped. Uh-huh. He couldn't see normal shit. I'm like, really? I mean, it seems fine to me. So guys, just if you do red light, I guess don't look into it because I'm stupid.
It makes everything green.
It makes everything green for you?
Yeah.
I don't, that doesn't happen to me.
Because it's the other side of the color spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Huh. What made you start your company? And how long ago was it?
Yeah, I started it because I actually went on a, I gained a lot of weight and not healthy weight. I wasn't working out. I was eating a lot of rubbish. And I just started having a lot of medical issues. And I thought to myself, right, you know, all the advice I'm getting from the medical establishments of eating, you know, this, that, and the other, and nothing was working for me. So I thought, you know what, sod this, I'm just going to go in and try and fix this myself. And at the time I discovered a ketogenic diet. So I was smashing a lot of steak, butter, and cheese, which obviously now you guys know is probably not the greatest for me. Aesthetically, it worked. It lost me a lot of weight.
Oh.
And I just kind of, I mean, I've moved away from that now, given the what I know, but, you know, it led me on the path of kind of looking critically at the science and what mainstream establishments were saying and trying to figure things out for myself. And when I lost a lot of weight and got to where I wanted to be, I was like, what else can I fix here? And my sleep was atrocious. And I found that by, you know, obviously by blocking light, managing light, you can improve your circadian rhythm and sleep. But what I found was when I started utilizing blue light blocking glasses that I got off Amazon, they just weren't blocking in line with the science. And my sleep wasn't improving from what I thought optimally. So what I did was I took a load of these glasses to, luckily I had a friend in an optics laboratory that had a lab grade spectrometer. So talk about fate, to test these glasses, and none of them were blocking in line with the science. And I just sort of had this epiphany and I was just like, well, can you guys, you're an optics lab, can you just produce a pair of glasses that blocks exactly between 400 and 550 nanometers and we're getting made here in Australia rather than in some factory overseas, and just make something that doesn't exist but actually works in line with the literature? And they were like, yeah, we can get that done. And they produced a few for me. I tested them. My sleep scores went through the roof. And I sent them out to all these like prominent biohackers that were utilizing, you know, other blue light blocking glasses. And I just said, look, guys, thinking of starting a company here. This is what I've done. Here's the evidence that backs it up. Can you let me know, can you wear them and let me know how they compare to what you're wearing at the moment? And literally every single one of these people came back to me just going, holy shit, like these are amazing. Like my sleep scores are so much better by wearing them, start a company. And then that's what we did. We just started off small and, you know, developed into, you know, this massive company now that's just helping, you know, not just elite level athletes from around the world. I mean, we work with the Australian national soccer team, Jordan Henderson, who's the captain of Liverpool Football Club. A lot of people in the US as well, the Canadian Olympic team utilize our glasses and red light therapy. So it's for everyone, you know, anyone that's exposed to artificial light and just wants to improve their sleep and longevity and, you know, all the way up to elite level athletes can really benefit from this. Depends how extreme you want to take it, but just small steps of, you know, improving your light hygiene, of utilizing a good quality pair of blue light blocking glasses. And, you know, I always say to people, you know, I don't come on these shows to big up, you know, Bond Charge, our company. You know, if you can find a place to buy a pair of blue light blocking glasses for cheaper that can guarantee they block 100% in the 400 to 550 nanometer range, go for your life. But just make sure before you purchase a pair of blue light glasses, you ask for certified lens test result reports that have been done by a lab that show categorically that they block within that range. Otherwise, you're just going to be wasting the money. Your eyes don't care if they see 1% of blue light in that range or 100%. It's still going to disrupt your melatonin.
Where does the name Bond Charge come from?
So Bond Charge comes from Bon, which is French for good and well. And charge is another word for energy. So it's good energy. Okay. So it's all about creating good energy in your body, optimal energy within your body, and just keeping your biology optimal and healthy. Our company used to be called Blue Blocks, because blue and blocks and, you know, blue and block lights. But we just basically, our customers just took us in the direction of optimizing more products in relation, not just to light, but also, you know, electromagnetic frequencies, cold therapy as well. So we recently changed our name to Bond Charge because our company now has just grown so much more in terms of blue light into more, you know, good energy production, good energy management, and just making people feel and perform at their best levels, really.
Nice. Great. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Where can people find out more about your products, and where can people find you on Instagram or social media?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not heavily active on Instagram myself, but they can check it out on I Am Andy Mant. I'll send that over to you guys. The website, I write all the articles myself on the website, because I did outsource it at one stage and I wasn't happy with the quality and the use of science wasn't up there. So everything's peer-reviewed, study backed, and that's bondcharge.com, bondcharge.com. Check out the blog section there. There's great free resources on there. And I also have a YouTube channel as well. Just type in Bond Charge and we do a lot of like product demonstrations. We talk about the science on there as well. So if people want to learn more, they can jump on those places.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You too, guys. Super appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
I still love all this shit, man.
Yeah, lots to take in.
Yeah. I know we, like, I think recently we were kind of like clowning a little bit on like the biohacking scene where it's like.
Still clowning. Let's not. No, get it twisted.
But we weren't like a whole episode like going hard on it, you know, like about. I can't even remember the context, but it was like instead of finding like the shortcuts, like just, you know, do the work and stuff. But like, man, doing the work would be, yeah, lighting the candles and shutting off the lights and doing that shit, or just change the light bulb out. Like, what a cool concept. Somebody created that, right? Like, yeah. That's, I love that. And I do really like having those red lights in my house. And when somebody turns on one of the switches that's not, you know, that doesn't have one of the red lights, I freak out. I'm like, nah, turn it off, you know, because I don't want my son to see that light. You know, then my daughter was like complaining about being tired the other day. And, you know, it's just like, hey, like, well, stop looking at your phone at night. Stop turning on the other lights at night. You know, like, let's start getting into this like red light a lot more and then go that route. So I still love all this shit.
What can I call you, man? Have you ever heard, like, remember when Tiger Mom was a thing? Like the Asian mom that's like very.
Yeah.
So what are you?
We'll figure it out. Parent. Yeah, I'm definitely a helicopter parent.
For
right
a good
now.
Reason,
I'm
though.
Like, I'm not be, but fuck, it's hard.
Hey, man, you're looking out for your kid's well being. It's just so funny because you're like, they fed him a piece of cake.
My son's right foot points out a little bit when he runs, and I'm like, I got to figure out how to fix this.
I'll probably end up being the same as you. I'll make it funny.
Because,
you,
dude, you
got to look at the way he's being carried. You know, he's probably being carried that late. I'm just actually messing with you. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to look at
it. Because it was
like hip is probably turned kind of weird.
So it's his left, so it's his right. Yeah,
when Mama Bear puts him on his hip, puts him on her hip, it probably is.
Because, like, when I hold him, it's here. So I guess maybe his left foot, because it's attached to the body, and the right foot is just, like, hanging behind, and there's nothing there. That could be it. But here's the thing, dude. You stop paying attention for 1 second, and then you realize, oh, shit, he's tall enough to get to the burner on the fucking stovetop. So, shit. I mean, not the direct burner, but I was cooking some eggs, and, like, the trim around the stovetop, you know, where it's still, it's a conductor of heat because it's all steel.
Yeah.
I turn around, he's crying, and I'm like, what happened? I'm like, oh, my God, like, he can reach it now. Mm-hmm. See, that's what happens when you're not a helicopter parent.
My puppy turned on the gas the other day.
Holy fuck.
It's not the same, but he did turn on the gas because he reached it anyway. But
Huskies do that shit on purpose.
Yeah. Dude, this light stuff is actually, it makes a very big difference. Like, I noticed because there have been times that I've just been kind of lazy. Let's say, like, maybe I left the glasses in my room or whatever, so I didn't get them, right? Mm-hmm. I don't end up feeling as tired as when I do use them a few hours before sleep. I can tell. Mm-hmm. And, I do think it's good for everybody to do. If you have an Apple Watch or an Oura Ring or something, and you do get some of these, you do get some blue light blocking glasses or something like that, use your tracker to track the difference, because you'll actually be able to see a difference between the way you sleep on nights you use it and nights you don't. So it's a very simple fix, but it's, some people, it just takes a little bit of time to get behind being consistent with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even just those red glasses, I think, are a big change for a lot of people, because you can't really read your phone. And we talk about that a lot. It's like it just traps you in. Whether there's like tons of science behind it, you know, he pointed out like there's a lot of good science and research behind it. I would say, who even cares about that? It's like a signal, like it's time to go to bed. You put those glasses on. You are supposed to kind of detach from your phone and stuff like that a little bit before you go to bed. So why not just start to have these healthier practices? You're going to notice that losing weight is going to be easier. It's not necessarily because the particular light is doing anything, but you're going to sleep better. Mm-hmm. When you sleep better, everything else gets to be a little easier. Your workouts will be better. I mean, we already know these things. It's just sometimes it's hard to kind of prod ourselves into that direction. Yeah. And I think it actually is wonderful to have like products that encourage you to head in that direction, because sometimes it can be hard. So for me, I put those glasses on. It's kind of annoying when I sit there and try to watch TV. I can't enjoy TV as much, but that's a good thing, because I'm like, I'm going to watch one show. I'm going to watch 40 minutes of it or something like that, and then I'm going to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Get the sleep mask. Holy shit, get the sleep mask. Mm-hmm. It actually, like, it's that on the website is not very expensive, but it's clutch. I don't like sleeping without that sleep mask every single night. It makes a big old difference. Because when that light comes through the curtains, I just need to get blackout curtains.
Yeah, I have pretty good curtains and stuff too. But then I also have a whole house fan. So sometimes we open the window, and we actually have like a good breeze like where I live. It's really nice. So wind comes in and everything. It's great. So I have to have the curtain kind of pulled back a little bit because the window is open, and that light comes in like crazy in the morning, and it's on my side of the bed. So I need the eye mask. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
I love using the eye mask for breath work when I'm like meditating and stuff. Sometimes I'm seeing visuals and like I'm trying really hard to keep my eyes closed, but like physically I cannot do it. It's weird. They want to open up, but with the sleep mask, it stays pretty dark and I'm able to kind of like jump back in. Cause you know, when you kind of snap out of it, well, I don't know cause I know you said you only like see like dark when you're doing the breath work.
I don't see any visuals, yeah.
So sometimes you'll start seeing stuff, but then if you kind of like your eyes open or you, I don't know, wind blows and you recognize yourself again and you're like in this body, you'll kind of snap out of it. And it's like, oh, you're not cool enough to hang out here. When you have the mask, when I have the mask on, I'm able to kind of like get right back into that state again. Mm. And like just, I know I just said a bunch of weird shit that people are like, this guy's a fucking idiot, but it really does help with that mask.
Yeah. The mask is really, it's funny. The sleep mask is really funny because it's like when I wake up in the morning, I'm like an old woman or an old person. And the reason why I say that is because like, let's say I have it on and the room's bright. I'll go like this. I'll open my eyes. I'll be like, fuck. It just it actually hurts to open my eyes too fast. I have to open my eyes super close, like super slowly, because it's just so fucking dark. It's great. It's fucking great.
Awesome. I use that on a plane. I love it, and I'll even get out the mouth tape and everything.
We should have took a picture of that.
Oh, people are probably like, you have done so weird, but I'll go mouth tape and I'll put the eye mask on,
mouth tape, and then the noise canceling headphones.
It also tells everybody like, leave me alone.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Get to be in your own world. Yeah. Take us on out of here, Andrew.
Alrighty. So if you guys are interested in learning more about Bond Charge, please head over to bondcharge.com/powerproject. So that's B as in boy, O-N, charge.com/powerproject. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. I didn't know what it meant, but now, cool. It's, Bond Charge. But, if you guys are interested in any of these products, make sure you use promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. Links to them down in the description as well as podcast show notes. And please drop us a comment. Let us know what you guys thought about today's conversation. Let us know if you guys learned something new or, if something just like kind of cemented some of your beliefs already and you guys are going to start making some of these changes. And I'll hit that like button on your way out and subscribe if you guys are not subscribed. Follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And SEMA, where you at?
And do some breath work. I think check out that Justin Lovato episode.
And the video. It's up on the STO6 channel.
Do some breath work. That shit will be good for you, yo. At SEMA, any on Instagram, YouTube, and SEMA Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later.
Be less fat. Bye.